It's really a great joy for me to be here with you. This is my third trip to Sydney. And each time when I come up to Sydney, it's to speak to the brethren in Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. And I thank the Lord that my main purpose of coming to this place is declaring God's Word. I think nothing more meaningful than that. And I praise the Lord for Elder Cole, the session of this church, and all of you who have warmly welcomed me all this time when I came, and many of you, when you visited Singapore, visited our church, Gethsemane Bible Presbyterian Church, and thank you for visiting and encouraging us. The book of Proverbs has been a very intriguing book to me since I started to read the Bible. And that was at a very young age. I find it very exciting. You know why? Because that was my mother's most cherished book of counsel. And every time when she wants to teach us something, she will quote verses from the Bible, especially from the book of Proverbs. And so she would tell us to go and read this chapter, that verse, or memorize certain verses. So when I became a Bible college student, it became my passion to read and study the book of Proverbs. Finally, when I wrote my doctoral dissertation on pastoral counseling, and it was entirely based on the book of Proverbs. And so I'm very delighted that I can once again talk to you, or once again revisit the book of Proverbs and teach you from it, because it's also a time of learning for me once again. And I find this book a treasure house of God's infinite wisdom. And the more I dig into it, the more I am thrilled about what it has to say about life. And I pray that the unparalleled wisdom of God that is recorded for us in this book will be a great edification as we come together to consider this book. And of course, we will not have time to go through the entire book, but we will look at certain topics which will be guided by the theme for this retreat: health, wealth, or wisdom, which is most important. How should we see these things in the light of the Bible? I have given out some notes. Unfortunately, I couldn't print it out early, so it's a little bit small. I hope your eyes are sharp and you can see it well. If you really have difficulty, I think we will try and get it printed bigger some other time. Okay, now you can follow along the notes that I've given out today. I will be sticking to this outline to minister to you from God's Word, particularly the book of Proverbs. Now, just now we read from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. You have seen in verse 2, after the introduction, that this part of Proverbs is written by Solomon, the son of David, that it is to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, and to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So here you have the purpose of writing this particular book. Solomon, the wisest of men ever lived on earth, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, tells us the reason for this book is to impart wisdom. And many different words are used synonymously. In Hebrew, there are various words that carry the idea of wisdom, but they have shades of meaning that makes them stand apart from one another. And in English, It's very hard to capture that meaning by one word. Nonetheless, by God's grace, we have those words translated for us in these words that we just read from King James Bible. To know wisdom, instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. Sometimes you wonder, what are the difference? Wisdom, instruction, understanding. In fact, the idea here is this. God who gives us wisdom, pass it to us by means of instructions. And when you follow those instructions, you will be a man of understanding. You will know what is right and wrong. And that would naturally lead you to wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. You see, sometimes we don't see the words such as justice, judgment, and equity as part of wisdom, right? We normally see it as different realities or different concepts. But in the Bible, you can never be just and equitable without being wise. And that wisdom comes from God. And so, if you were to think about all these words that are mentioned in verses 2 to 4, you realize the concept of wisdom is much more than we ever imagined. It is not having the ability to store information. It is more than that. It is knowing what God wants us to know and then applying it just as He has told us. That's what wisdom is. And I'm going to show this as much as possible tonight. And so, if you were to look into your notes, I have this to say right at the beginning. Proverbs was written primarily to promote divine wisdom among God's covenant people. Now, God has no intention to educate the unbelieving because they wouldn't believe. They would reject God's word. The word of God is primarily written for God's people. And so, this book, the Bible, and this particular book that we are looking in, the book of Proverbs, is to be understood as a book that God has given for all those who have come to trust in Him. It's divine wisdom for God's people. God doesn't want His people to live without wisdom. He has not abandoned us to our own ideas and ideologies, which are corrupted by our fallen nature. So God, in His great mercy, gives us that wisdom. Many people do not think that way. If you were to read some commentaries on the book of Proverbs or some critical writings on this book in theological journals and so on, you will see people comparing the book of Proverbs with ancient wisdom that has been discovered through archaeological evidences. Like Proverbs is compared with some ancient writings of the Egyptians and other ancient nations which were found in the Arabian Peninsula and so on. And they tried to make comparisons, and sometimes you see that what you read in the book of Proverbs is also found in Egyptian books, ancient Egyptian books. And they then conclude that the Bible has copied from the Egyptians. But it is the other way around. If you remember what the Bible says about Solomon, that kings and wise men from different parts of the world came to Solomon to listen to his wisdom. And they learned from him and went back and taught their people. So when you see Bible verses, which are the wisdom of God found in Proverbs, in other ancient texts, do not think that Bible has copied it from them, but rather they copied it from the Bible. So you will see such confusion concerning the wisdom of God in this world. Many people in these days like to say that, oh, the Bible has adapted this from ancient literatures. This is not true. Let me show you why is it the case. This book distills the theological truths of the Old Testament into practical counsels. In other words, 39 books of the Old Testament is God's revelation. And when you study the book of Proverbs and its theology, you will come to this conclusion. This book is in perfect harmony with the rest of God's revelation in the Old Testament. If this book is taken from other ancient literatures, then its theology should contradict the Bible, because ancient texts exalted idol worship and other ungodly aspects of life. Whereas here, in the book of Proverbs, the theology fits exactly what God has spoken in the rest of the Bible. And that helps us to understand that the order is the same. God. Because there's no contradiction with the rest of the Bible. And here are more proofs for you. If you were to consider Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, you can turn to that and read together with me. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. What does it say? For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So it doesn't say wisdom cometh from Egyptians or from any idols or any other spirits that people worship. The Lord, in Hebrew it's Yahweh, or in English we say Jehovah. It's the covenant name of the God of Israel. So here we are told that the wisdom that this book exalts and promotes cometh from the Lord, the God of Israel. So God is the source. The Lord God Almighty is the source of wisdom, not any other text or ancient wise men. And let's turn to Proverbs 29:18. Now this is a verse that is often misapplied by many people in these days. We need to understand it correctly. Proverbs 29:18. What does it say? Let's read together. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, many teachers, particularly charismatic teachers, would read this verse and they will say, oh, here is one verse that teaches us we must dream dreams and we must receive visions, because it says, where there is no vision, people perish. One of the things that you must remember when you read the book of Proverbs, that it is a poetic literature. It's Hebrew poetry. Now in Hebrew poetry, they have a very unique device called parallelism. That means that the two lines of a verse have some parallelism. It can be synonymous parallelism, that means same idea repeated twice in different words. Or you have antithetical parallelism. That is to say, opposite things are compared to emphasize a point. There are other types of parallelism as well. Maybe another day I will tell you more of that. But here, if you were to look at that verse, it is antithetical. How do we know? Because the word but is there at the beginning of the second line. So it puts two opposing things together. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Right? So if you don't have the vision, the people perish. Now what does that mean? You read the next. The opposite of it is that he that keepeth the law. So one who has no vision is opposed to those who keep the law. So in other words, the word vision there is parallel to the law. The one that contradicts one another is the obedient one and the disobedient one, or the disobedient one against the obedient one. So the first part is one who is not obedient to the vision. The other part is the one who is obedient to the law. So vision and law is referring to the same thing. The word vision in Hebrew language there means revelation, what God has revealed, the law. Not that you must have vision today, but that which God has already revealed to us, which is called in the second part of that line, the law. So if you don't have the vision, or if you don't have the law of God, you will perish. So the substance of that verse is this: that which God has revealed to you as wisdom must be followed, must be believed, must be applied. If not, you will perish. It is not saying if you don't have vision every night from God, you will perish. But if you have that which, if you don't follow that which God has revealed to you through the prophets, then you will perish. So the emphasis is this, that we must look at God's wisdom as God-given law to us. This is God's revelation for our happiness, for our blessing. So just as we read a while ago in Proverbs 2:6, the Lord giveth wisdom, the Lord reveals His truth that we might be happy. Then one more verse I want to bring to your attention from Proverbs is Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Another emphasis on the Word of God and its wisdom. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Let's read together. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and be found a liar. What a statement. Every word of God is pure. Every word that comes from God is pure. Don't question it. Sometimes people like to ask, is this right? Should it be like this? Doesn't it sound contradicting? Doesn't it sound unscientific? Doesn't it sound rather unusual and out of ordinary? Should we think it to be so, or should we challenge it? The Bible says every word of God is pure. You are not the one who determines whether it's correct or not. God has declared it to be correct. Now you submit. That's wisdom, right? If you challenge wisdom, you become foolish. Only a foolish man would challenge the wisdom. And there is none who is greater than God who is wise and reveal these things to us. A while ago, as we read in Proverbs 29:18, we noticed the Bible clearly says, where there is no vision, people perish. Means where there is no obedience to the revealed word of God, where there is no emphasis on the word of God, people will perish. So we have to understand this thought that runs through the book of Proverbs. I have not picked up all the verses that emphasize this great truth tonight, but this is the general teaching. And I've given you three major verses that sufficiently depict this truth, that when we approach the wisdom of God revealed in His Word, we must approach it to be the unmistakable, inerrant, infallible truth of God's Word. And that is wisdom. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. So everyone who trusts God in His wisdom and in His perfection must come to the Word of God with faith. And when we trust God and His Word, God will be our protector. He will be our shield. Now there's a warning in the next verse. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Don't stand as a judge over the word of God. To say, let me add a little bit. Let me put it in a different way. Let me change a little bit. Do not do that. God doesn't need your help in that matter. If you think you can suggest something better than what God has revealed, then God will find you a liar. In other words, your claim is not true. So I want to say this very clear right at this beginning session of our study, that at any time, if your mind or someone else next to you tells you that what you read in the Bible is not so practical, it is not so advisable, it is not the best decision you should make, then you better know that voice you heard is a lying voice. It's not the truth. Absolute allegiance, absolute submission to the truth of God's word is required. Your coming alone will not bless you, my dear friends. Your listening to the word of God will not bless you. If it has to be a blessing, you must seek it with a heart that is ready to submit to its counsels. We should not come to God's word to debate on its wisdom. We should come to receive it, saying, O Lord, I'm a foolish person. I'm a foolish man. I'm a foolish woman. I thank you for your infinite wisdom. I thank you for your grace and willingness to teach me and help me, Lord, to abide by thy truth. Every word of God is pure. Let's don't add to it. Let's don't manipulate the word of God, lest we be found a liar. Now, much of this book, interestingly, is addressed to young people. Well, it has specific counsel for older people as well. But you will see a majority of the counsels that you see in this book is directed toward young people. Consider the passage that we just read. Proverbs 1:1-7. And there, I'm sure you have noticed very clearly it says that the purpose of this is to give wisdom to those who are young. Look at verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. In fact, the book of Proverbs often says, foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. Young men are not allowed to wander around according to their own thinking. Any young person who reads the book of Proverbs would know that the Bible does not allow him to form his own opinion about life and to live according to his feelings. Constantly, the book of Proverbs calls on young people to submit the heart to God and his wisdom, and to the wise counsels of godly parents. I will emphasize that in the coming sessions that we have over the next 3 days. But take note, young people, you can rejoice. God's intention of giving us the book of Proverbs is to remove all forms of simplicity, foolishness from our mind. And particularly, to make young people wise. Imagine this, being wise according to God's wisdom. What blessing it is. What blessing! And I often pray for my children. They are all into their teenage years now. And I pray, Lord, they will be biblical children. Children who are wise according to God's word, even though they are not wise according to the world's ways. That's my prayer. And when I see all the young people here, I pray the same prayer for you. Because there is nothing more beautiful and marvelous than watching young people who are energized, guided by the truth of God's word. There is something unparalleled about it. And in them, God's goodness, God's mercy, God's power, God's glory can be seen. So I hope you would pray as you read these words that this book is given to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Lord, help me to be wise according to your wisdom. Let's turn to the next book that we have in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. And please come to chapter 12. You'll be surprised what this portion of the Bible has to say about the Proverbs of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 9 to 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 9 to 14. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. They have good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher here is a reference to the writer of Ecclesiastes, who is Solomon, King Solomon. And then it says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So he's talking about proverbs, to be truthful words from God. Now verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads. Do you know that the book of Proverbs are not only from Solomon? It is part of it are from words from the wise men of Israel, the elders of Israel. So, in fact, the book of Proverbs is a compilation of Proverbs from Solomon, wise men, then like the mother of King Lemuel, King Agur. Do you know that? Okay, maybe you're not familiar with it. You go back to Proverbs. Put a finger here at Ecclesiastes. We will come back there very quickly. Turn to chapter 30 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. What does it say? The words of Agur, the son of Jakin, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. Now we do not know who is Agur. In the Bible, we have no other reference to this person. Nonetheless, we believe it would have been one of those wise men whose proverbs were accepted as wise from the Lord. And now look at verse 30, chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And then tells us what the mother taught. So chapter 31 is from King Lemuel's mother. That cannot be Solomon, right? Now we do not know who is King Lemuel. Among the names of all the kings of Israel, you won't find the name Lemuel. Some scholars think this is a pet name of Solomon, but we have no evidence for that. It's a guess. It doesn't matter who he is, but we know it is given by God. It was accepted as words of wise men. And Solomon talks about it in Ecclesiastes. So this entire collection of the book of Proverbs come from Solomon, wise men of Israel. And then we notice in chapter 30, Agur, the son of Jake, King Lemuel. So there are various men who contributed to this book, but it's all inspired by God. They are inspired words of God Himself. So we come back to Ecclesiastes. And that's what he make mention here in verse 11 of chapter 12. The words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. After talking about the greatness and uniqueness and importance of God's word and the wisdom that He has collected, He says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, why do you read all these? For this purpose, to fear God and keep His commandments. And so, we go back to the book of Proverbs, and you can refer to your notes as well. This is the whole purpose of giving us the book of Proverbs, that we may be thoroughly furnished, like Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17, that we might become men of God, perfected by the truth of God's word. So I have a few statements here on page 1 itself about Proverbs. Proverbs summarizes God's expectations of His children and presents them in maxims of short, terse sayings so that they may read, remember, and apply them in their own lives. Now, you don't see long narratives in the book of Proverbs. Most of them are short sayings. When you move from one verse to another, you realize suddenly the topic changes. Different topics. So within a chapter, if you have 20 verses, you may have 20 topics. So all the truths are given in very summarized form, like in maxims and terse sayings. Okay, so that's one uniqueness of this book. The book not only provides wisdom for proper conduct and also for life's various problems. That's another interesting thing about this book. If you are in certain kind of trouble, the book of Proverbs has very specific counsel how to get out of your troubles. And not only it gives you guidelines as to what way you should go, but also give you solutions to your problems. It also anticipates the pitfalls and problems of life and directs the reader to make biblical responses to them. It warns you ahead of time that if you go that way, this will be the end. Young men are warned not to go with foolish women, or the scripture calls them strange women, because a house is a sure way to hell. And so the pitfalls are told to you early, so you may avoid that path. And when we come to those things, you realize how graphically the Bible talks about these things in order to warn us of the slippery slope these dangers put before us. And there is also another feature about the book of Proverbs. It contrasts the way believers and unbelievers behave. This is often seen in verses that are presented in antithetical forms. Wise men will behave this way, but the foolish will behave another way. So such verses are also found there. Now all these things are presented to us so that we may be awakened out of our ignorance. Sometimes I think the book of Proverbs are written to shock us. Hey, I never realized it. And so if you carefully read the book of Proverbs, you realize that there is this deliberate attempt to jolt you out of your slumberness and catch your attention and make you realize what's the right way to go, what's the right way to think. And I really pray that you will be jolted out of your spiritual slumber and show you the right path to take. Dr. Timothy Toh, the founding pastor of Bible Presbyterian Movement in Singapore, and has this to say in his book, Pearl of Wisdom, or Pearls of Great Wisdom. It's a commentary on Book of Proverbs. Let me read this out to you on page 2. These maxims have the divine authority and are infallible rules to direct our conduct in every circumstance of human life. They agree with the manners of every age and are adapted to every period, condition, and rank in life. Kings and subjects, rich and poor, wise and foolish, old and young, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, masters and servants, may here learn their respective duties and read lessons of instructions for the regulation of their conduct in the various circumstances. So this book has such a wide application. Even an old person can read it and study and learn wonderful and important lessons. So, I must now say something which is very important. This book is not teaching some personal ethics that help you to find your way to God. But rather, this is a book for those who have believed in God and became God's children, so that they might walk in a way that will please God. This book does not teach you to somehow do some moral works so that you may become a child of God. But it's the other way around. It is for those who are saved from their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ to know what is God's will concerning them as to how they should live in this wicked world. Because we are called to live differently from the sinful world. And this is the blueprint for a Christian's life, for a believer's life. Okay, so understand this book in that way. Remember, what it teaches you is to steer your life properly. Verse 7 of chapter 1 is the motto of this book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the motto. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now I must say a word here about the word beginning. It does not mean that this is the ignition key to knowledge. In other words, you know, when you're about to drive a car, you put your key in and then you turn and the car starts. You don't keep on doing that when you drive. So some people think fear of the Lord is something like the key to start an engine. I fear God now. Lord, I really fear you. After saying that, I can go out and do anything I want. I will be wise. No, that is nonsense. What it means here is this. Fear of the Lord is the foundation. In other words, when you do not have the fear of the Lord, you will cease from being wise. Only when the fear of the Lord is with you, then you can have knowledge. Many people misunderstand this. I had a friend who had no fear of God, but when the exam comes, he has great fear for God. He'll read the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It was my teenage friend. We studied in the same school and in India, and we walked together to school. So during the exam day, I would come early to call him. His name was Roy. So I said, Roy, are you ready? I'm coming. Let me pray. And that's the only time I see him pray. And he will really kneel down and say, Lord, I fear you. Please help me. Let me pass the exam. I stood by him and I heard him pray. Because he thinks if he can show that he fear God, and when he sees the exam paper, he can write all the answers. That's not what it says. Poor Roy. He failed in his exams. Coming to church will not make you a wise person. There are a lot of people come to church and talk to the pastor, especially when they have trouble, thinking that by doing such things that reflect some sort of fear for God will help them to resolve all their problems. That's a false thinking. Start fearing God. Start listening to the truth that He has revealed. And start listening to the warnings that He has given out. Then you will make wise decisions in your life. You stop fearing God, you will be a fool. So, when you read the book of Proverbs, you will see wisdom speaking out. I want to bring to your attention, as quickly as possible, four portrayals of wisdom. You know, wisdom is personified. This is part of Hebrew poetry. One of the poetic devices in Hebrew is to personify certain abstract concepts like love and truth and wisdom. And often you see wisdom acting like a lady preacher. Because the word wisdom is feminine. In Hebrew language, there are only two genders. In English, we have three, including neuter, right? Masculine, feminine, neuter. You won't refer to a piece of furniture as she or him. You say it. But in Hebrew, it has to be either masculine or feminine. And all the abstract concepts like truth, love, wisdom, righteousness are feminine. Okay? So when wisdom is referred to, it refers to wisdom as a woman. So you see Lady Wisdom many times in the book of Proverbs. And let's see how is it depicted. First of all, she is depicted as an imperious preacher. No-nonsense preacher. You may say very hard. Oh, too tough, this lady. She never means her words. Gets on my nerve. You may feel such a thing about this lady because she is wise. She doesn't want to play a fool. She doesn't want to call something bad good. She will tell you the truth. She is an imperious preacher. And look at chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. Chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. She appears here as an authoritative preacher. This is how we read. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth a voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Wow. Doesn't she sound like a very authoritative person? She demands everybody to listen to her. Would you like to do this? Go out to the main road where a lot of people wait to cross the road and stand there and shout, "Listen to me! Ye people of Sydney," they will either think that you are mad or you are really a wise person that they must listen to. Wisdom is crying out. That's what the Bible says. Wisdom is crying out. You know, if you were to read the Bible and then watch what's happening in the world, you realize wisdom is speaking everywhere. Why things are that way? Why things go this way? Isn't the Bible so true? Is it not predicted in the Bible? Is it not said so clearly in the Bible? Oh, how I wish people would come to know this. Every true preacher of God's Word who understands the gravity of the truth of God's Word can't help but to shout like wisdom. No pastor, no good preacher should ever feel a sense of regret or sorry for preaching the truth. We have no other choice but to cry out to the crowd. Whether they listen to it or not is not an issue. I must speak the truth. And I'm going to tell you, if you were to study the book of Proverbs, it will not care who you are, whether king or a peasant or an educated person or an uneducated person, it will cry out to you the truth. Even if you have made multi-million dollar business and became the richest person in this land, the Bible will tell you, don't decide to be rich. It will put across the truth in such clear and authoritative way. She demands total attention and submission as she speaks. And turn to Proverbs 8, please. She will come here as a passionate street preacher. She's not only authoritative, very passionate. Goes like this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. You see how passionately wisdom comes across to the hearer. She crieth at the gate. And then she says, unto you, O men. It's almost like a pastor who stands at the pulpit and says, hey, young man there, listen. You young lady there, listen. If I preach like that, I think it will be the last time you come to hear me, right? Boy. Sometimes, when I become passionate in my preaching, I get a lot of stick from people. There was one gentleman in my church who for 6 months would come to me almost every week. Almost every week. He would normally come on a Monday or Tuesday because Sunday he heard me preaching. And he would sit across my table. And he said, how are you, brother? Is there anything you want to share with me? He became very emotional. And I'm not sure what to expect. Whether he will punch me or he will tear all my books apart. I have no idea. I will just hold back. Say, Lord, in my heart I will pray. He said, why are you upset? Why do you preach against me? I said, did I mention your name? No, I know you are preaching against me. I said, what part of that message was against you? I know, Pastor, you are against me. If you don't want me to come to church, just tell me I won't come. I'm not talking about a teenage boy. I'm talking about a married man who has carried out his business very well in life, a matured man, for 6 months. And I had no idea. I said, brother, you come, we pray together. He said, no, he resisted. After 6 months, he told me, Pastor, I have something to tell you. So what's that? I'm sorry. I've been unfaithful to my wife. is trying to tell me, help. I don't know how to tell my wife. I'm a stinking person. Oh, in the presence of God's truth, I'm becoming very troubled. Help. I don't understand what he's trying to say. Because he's not being honest, he's not telling me the truth. And yet he wants to tell the truth, he was struggling. You come to God's word. You come to listen to God's wisdom. Please don't think you can go away without feeling troubled. She will tell you the truth. Wisdom will speak up, cry unto you, will tell you to listen to me. You can't ignore me. Very passionate. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Very confrontational, isn't it? She presents her message aloud with much pleading. She speaks with urgency of heart. She reminds her hearers to respond quickly. You know, she will call you a fool. She will call you a simple person. And then will tell you what is excellent, right, truth and righteousness. She is also an itinerant preacher. She doesn't stay in one place. She goes from place to place. Street corner, on high places, by the way, in the city, everywhere. You know, that's one thing about studying Proverbs. If you read it carefully and you keep it in your heart, it will speak to you everywhere. In the house, it will speak to you. In the city, it will speak to you. In the church, it will speak to you. When you're alone also, it will speak to you. It will never leave you alone. You want to have such a lady with you? Mine. You know, most of us who are married will know how we get irritated when our wives keep on reminding us of our mistakes, right? Then imagine Lady Wisdom follow you everywhere. And you can't say shut up. She will cry even louder. This is the truth. We shouldn't take it lightly. How wonderful is that God would send His wisdom to follow us? At every turn, at every corner, He will speak to us. This is great privilege. This is a blessedness. And we must thank God for that. That persistent love, the love that never let us go, the wisdom that will follow us. We must read the book of Proverbs and say, Lord, let these things be in my mind all the time. Let me not forget it. Every word of God is pure. I need them. And though the first presentation of wisdom is a very authoritative, persuasive, passionate preacher, the next presentation of wisdom is just the opposite. She is presented as a taciturn lady who must be sought after. In other words, she's a very quiet lady. You must go and look for her. On one hand, she's loud everywhere. But on the other hand, you must go after her to receive what she has. See how it is explained? Consider Proverbs 1, verse 24 onwards. Because I have called, ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. She knows when to keep quiet. After warning you and persuading you to follow her counsel, if you choose to refuse her, then she shall not say anything anymore. Even if you call her, she will not come to your aid. So don't take this gift of wisdom lightly. Consider chapter 8, verse 17. Chapter 8, verse 17. By the way, Proverbs 8 is a classic chapter on wisdom. That's where wisdom is presented as Lady Wisdom. It's a poetic chapter on God's wisdom. All right. Now, verse 17 says, I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. You see? So wisdom would love you to go and seek her in the morning. That's why it's good when you wake up in the morning, you read your Bible. You read God's Word. A while ago, Mrs. Koh asked me, Pastor Koshi, how do you teach your children about all the temptations and troubles of this world? When do you have time to teach them? How do you do that? I said, the way I do it is the time I have with them before the Lord during family devotion. I take the Bible, explain to them, and apply them. Early in the morning we do it. And it's a must. Even though we don't have breakfast, we must have the study of God's Word. 15 minutes around God's Word. Oh, how comforting it is. And you should seek the Lord and His wisdom. Early. Go after it. In chapter 8, verse 34, wisdom explains the blessedness of a man who avidly awaits her advice. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. You know, wisdom expects you to go and wait at the gate, watching. The word watching in Hebrew comes from the Hebrew word shakad, which has a connotation of alertness, as that of a leopard that watches for the chance to seize its prey. Have you seen in National Geographic films and so on how these wild beasts wait for the prey, watching? It's such careful watching. It moves forward. Even the steps that it takes is so carefully taken, so will not alert the prey. And you must be that watchful to go and learn from God's wisdom. Eagerly, eagerly, focused. Nothing should distract you. Your entire being must be pulled toward learning the truth of God's Word. And that's what she says. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Will you stand by the Word? We talk about the Bible, but do we stand by the Word? Do we open the pages like we open a treasure box to see the great wealth that we have? Oh, the Bible. I was looking at hundreds of people in the plane that I traveled to see whether anybody got a Bible in the hand to read. Many of them have thick books, small books, magazines, and I realized one thing. In all my journey, I found the Australians are avid readers of books. They read so many books. And in the plane, I see Australians, particularly Australians, they read lots of books. I think Singaporeans read less. I'm not sure, but that's my impression, okay. Somehow, Australians tend to read a lot. That's, you know, even when I go to the eating place that you have, I see people sitting there after ordering a book, after ordering a cup of coffee, reading the book. And it's a common thing that I see in Australia, wherever I go in Australia. I don't see that happening very often in Singapore. People are busy, they drink the coffee very quickly and they run. Here people take time to read. But I wonder whether you see people sitting there ordering a cup of coffee and reading the Bible. Hardly. How much do you enjoy the Bible? Well, you better answer. New Year is coming. New resolutions are going to be taken. Of course, not to be broken. When you take it, let it be that you will be a Bible person in the coming year. You will read the Bible. Study it. She is also presented to us as a dear friend. Look at the last page of your notes. Let's read chapter 4, verse 6 together. A dear friend to be cherished. Let's read together. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. It's about God's wisdom in the context. Love her, she shall keep thee. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. See, the language, embrace wisdom. Love her, exalt her. Chapter 7, verse 4 says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Wow. How closely you must keep the wisdom of God. Tenderly, lovingly, passionately. Wisdom is also is referred to as a lady bountiful. Because she is wisdom, she will give you many blessings. Wisdom leads to blessing. Foolishness leads to destruction. Simple as that. And this is something we should never forget. May I ask you to consider chapter 8 of Proverbs, verses 18 to 21. You will read like this, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of paths of judgment, that I may cause that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Here, definitely, we are told, if you have no wisdom, no riches and honor. In fact, it says, my fruit, wisdom's blessings are better than gold, even fine gold. You have a very clear choice to make tonight. Health, wealth, or wisdom. Wisdom says, choose me. I will be better for you. You can never buy God's wisdom with all the wealth of the world. You could find it nowhere else except in this vision, in this revelation that God has given. It's a great blessing. The universities of the world cannot give this to you. Because of time factor, let me jump to the last verse I want to bring to you. Proverbs 8:35. Look at that. What it says. Proverbs 8:35. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Life may be short, life may be long. God has made the appointment as to the end of our life. It is appointed unto man once to die. So we cannot add a day more to our life. But if your life has to be lived in its fullness, with all its intended purposes and meaning, then you must follow the wisdom of God. Then you can say at the end of your life, I found life. I live a life worth living. But if you reject God's wisdom, you will only have great shame and sorrow as the total sum of your life. With God's wisdom, you can live a wonderful, blessed life, which money cannot give to you. I tell you, dear friends, a person who lives according to God's wisdom has a far better life than a rich man who rejects God's wisdom. That's a great truth. I'm not a rich man. I'm a poor man by many standards of the world. I don't mean to say God has abandoned me. He takes care of me. But I have nothing to show off as great wealth. Recently some people said, Pastor Kush, you've got to upgrade your flat. I said, why? Because you've got three kids, you know, you have only two bedrooms, you've got to have another room. I said, yeah, actually, I hope I can do, if the Lord would enable me, but I'm happy with this. And I said to him, even though it's a small house, because the Lord is with us, we are happy. In fact, my eldest son told me just the other day, because I told him maybe we should pray for a bigger house. He said, Daddy, why? Why should we have a bigger house? This is good enough. We are happy here. When he said that, I said, praise the Lord. My children never looked down on me because I didn't manage to buy a big house for them. They still see me as a father. They still see me as a wise father. They didn't look down on me. They didn't judge me. But they're happy that I'm a godly father to them. I can tell you from my own life. I think there's no better way to tell you that than from my own experience. There's nothing like being wise in God's word. It gives you life. Life to the fullest. Money cannot, health cannot. You can be a dying, sick man, but if your heart is filled with God's wisdom, that deathbed can be a rich life. It would be far better that you die as a wise man than live as a wicked man. Because the man who seeks wisdom has the favor of the Lord. May God help you to think and cry out to Him tonight for the foolishness of our heart that kept us away from God's wisdom. Let's cry. Let's seek wisdom tonight. She's crying out. Let's cry after her. Give me that wisdom. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the time we spend. Your word is so rich, so wonderful. Grant us deep understanding that we might be the kind of person that you want us to be. It's not within our power. We are corrupt in our mind. Our thoughts are abominable so often. Sanctify us by thy truth, we pray. That we may live a life that is blessed by thee, guided by thy wisdom, that many others may also see in us and through us the greatness of thy wisdom, that their life may be blessed as well. With thanksgiving for thy word and thy wisdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.